Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. We welcome again Pastor Randy Swenson and his wife Jeannie to our service this morning. We've been blessed with some fairly nice weather this past week, even a little bit of rain, which we still need a lot of. We can be thankful that we live in a part of the world that isn't quite so susceptible to the significant climate changes, floods, fires, what have you, that we've been reading about in the paper and hearing about this past week. It's really hard to imagine what that would be like living in that under those kinds of conditions. So we really need to be much in prayer for those that are going through these dangerous conditions these days. By way of announcements, next Sunday is Congo Kids Offering, and Mike and A will be sharing from God's word with us. Tuesday, August 22nd, is Salvation Army serving day, beginning at 1:45. And then you'll notice in your bulletin there's an announcement about an evening with Kim Walker. I have a nice poster here, which I'll post somewhere in the church here. Anyway, it's two weeks from yesterday at the high school auditorium. And tickets are available, $15, by calling the True Hope Church office, and the number's in your bulletin there between Tuesday and Friday. The concert is being sponsored by Psalm FM in International Falls and Life 97.3. in Duluth. So I haven't heard of Kim Walker Smith at all. Maybe some of you have. It'll also be featuring Brandon Heath with special guest presence music. These are the groups, I think, that come before the main event. So anyway, for your information. Please join us for coffee and conversation after worship this morning.
Roger?
Yes.
I just want to let you know, most of you know who John Robert Lindquist is. He was confirmed here with my son Dan and Peter. Just received word they are safe. They have no electricity, no cell service, no food. So, and that's been since Tuesday, so things are starting to, but.
This is in Hawaii?
In Hawaii,
okay.
in Lahaina, on Maui. And then there, John Robert's niece's mother lives on Maui. She and her mother live together in an apartment building. They lost their apartment, and then cousins of the mother lost their business, their home, and their car.
We
look at pictures from when we were there last fall and now, and it's just unreal, just totally unreal.
You should also note that Evelyn Babini has relatives that have evacuated the area. Is that accurate?
Most are bound for, except for two are still missing. And I got a few relatives who've lost their homes as well.
I just heard on Good Morning America this morning that the kids are wondering what they're going to do about school. Mm-hmm. Teachers, students, you know. So it's definitely something we need to, I guess all we can do here is pray that God will find a way for them to recover from this terrible event. Would you stand with me now as we read responsibly our call to worship, found on page 864 in your blue hymnal. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus.
So that together we may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed us for the glory of God. Remain standing as we sing number 56, For the Beauty of the Earth. Precious Lord, come as a flowing river of faith into our lives this morning, so that we may not grow weary in well-doing. You and you alone are able to open our mind's eyes to see you and open our hearts to experience you today. Lift us up with your love so that we may love others rightly. Encourage us with your hope so that we may move forward unafraid. Today, as we worship you, may our hearts, minds, and souls be flooded with your presence. I pray this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We will begin the first lesson and reading of God's Word. Turn to page 458 in your pew Bibles. It's Psalm 105, and we'll start with verses 1 through 6. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. The glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. O descendants of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. Now we are going to go to verses 16 through 22. He called down famine on the land and destroyed all their supplies of food, and he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles, his neck was put in irons, till what he foretold came to pass. till the word of the Lord proved him true. The king sent and released him. The ruler of peoples set him free. He made him master of his household, ruler of all he possessed, to instruct his princes as he pleased and teach his elders wisdom. Now we will go to verse 45. And here we are. That they might keep his precepts and observe his laws. Praise the Lord. Now we'll go to Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 33, and that's page 749 in your pew Bible. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and was beginning to sink, and cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This was the word of God.
I'll ask our usher to come forward and receive our tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, when we consider all that you have done for us, how can we not embrace the spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude by giving back to you a portion of what you have given to us? May there be no hint of greed or selfishness when it comes to honoring you with our gifts of tithes and offerings. Rather, may there be joy in giving to what is rightfully yours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bob Stromberg's song on this August morning. Like a moment, the years go by, like the dew on August mornings. We are warmed by the brightening sky, and our souls long to be one with you. Someday soon, you will come, and we will see your glory. Till that day, may our hearts burn bright with the hope of one day, someday soon. Like your wind in the whispering pines, like your eagle soaring o'er us, we are born wondrous sign, and our souls long all the more for you. Someday soon, you will come, and we will see your glory. Till that day, may our hearts burn bright with the hope of one day, someday soon. Like the spring after winter snow, like the seedling's hint of harvest, we are drawn by the hope that grows from our longing to be home with you. Someday soon, you will come, and we will see your glory. Till that day, may our hearts burn bright with the hope of one day, someday
soon. Seated. Join me in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy that comes to us this morning. Thank you for creating the sun to shine by day, the stars and moon at night, so that we don't have to live in darkness. You, O Lord, are the light that shines in our lives and fills our hearts with joy. Thank you, Father, for being a friend that has never failed us. In our lonely days of suffering, struggling, and striving, you have brought new comfort and renewal. What a blessing it is to know that you desire a close and intimate relationship with us. We can say with the hymn writer, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Thank you for giving us your example of the blessed fruit of the Spirit. In you, we can see the wise balance of humility and discernment. Help us to always be mindful of the fruit we are producing in our own lives, and help us to remember how fulfilling our lives can be when we are in constant connection with you, allowing the Holy Spirit to give us the peace that passes all understanding, no matter what our circumstances are about. We continue to pray for those that are dealing with the loss of one kind or another. May you, in your infinite wisdom, comfort them as only you know how to comfort. There are others who are dealing with relationship issues, financial issues, physical health issues, and spiritual issues. Lord, provide for them the wisdom and knowledge they need to make decisions that will be honoring to you. We continue to pray for discernment and how we respond to these conditions. We know that we cannot control our circumstances, but we can choose the attitude with which we react to them. Humble us toward a sensitive and compassionate response. We pray for our service personnel, Sarah Skogman and Grace Koski, that in their service they will be able to support their mission dutifully and bring glory to your name. And also for our local police, fire, and government personnel. We pray that in their protection of our community, they will also be protected from harm. We lift up our missionaries, Lissandro and Patricia Restrepo, serving as our covenant missionaries in Mexico. Bless their family, their ministry endeavors, and keep them safe and in good health. Heavenly Father, we know there are so many things going on in this country that are wrong. The forces of hatred and violence are gaining momentum. We long for the peace and contentment we've known in the past. Even in the entire world, we are witnessing situations that are disturbing beyond belief. Senseless killings continue, events of one kind or another that have resulted in loss of lives. Weather conditions, like the fires that have ravaged the island of Maui this past week, leaving people homeless, helpless, and grieving the loss of many lives. Our nation continues to be divided in so many issues that we need your divine wisdom to be aware of how you want us to respond to these circumstances as well. Work through our leaders and servants in a mighty way so that justice, peace, and mercy may rule. However the situation, we know that we can have confidence that you know what's going on in the world, and without fear, we can trust that in your divine judgment, you will see us through it all. May your strength surge through our minds, emotions, and feelings, and lift us up in the same way a tired bird is lifted up by an unexpected gust of wind and is raised to a higher attitude and soars on with new strength and energy. We continue to pray for your specific direction with regard to securing a permanent pastor. We realize that it's a specific calling and trust that you know the one you feel is best suited to shepherd us into the future. And so as we continue to worship this morning, fill us with your presence so that in so doing, we will leave this place with the knowledge that you are in control of all of our circumstances, and in the end, we will be glorified as you are glorified. We pray your blessing on Pastor Randy as he shares your word with us today. I pray all of these things in your holy and precious name. Amen. Before Pastor Randy comes to share with us, turn with me to hymn number 75, There Is a Redeemer.
Morning.
It's really a joy to be able to be here. You've heard that said a lot of times, but I really mean that. Ginny and I enjoy being here with you and worshiping. And I have just sensed a unique presence here of the Spirit here this morning through the special music, your prayer just previous to this, Roger. And I just thought, well, why don't we just spend some time in silence and then go home? But we're not going to do that. I there's lots of rules and laws and so forth in our country, and some are good and some are questionable. You probably have come across sometime ridiculous laws that are still on our books. Here we go, just a few of them. Citizens may not enter Wisconsin with a chicken on their head. Okay. Another law, and this one's understandable. State law made it illegal to serve apple pie in public restaurants without cheese. There goes our cheese head. Okay. Iowa, one-armed piano players must perform for free. Tennessee, there's a couple here. It is legal to gather and consume roadkill. And only in Tennessee, right? Okay. And here, this one's in Memphis, and these are not my words, these are what they did. It's illegal for a woman to drive a car unless there is a man either running or walking in front of it, waving a red flag to warn approaching motorists and pedestrians. I apologize to my wife for reading that. So, you know, as foolish as those laws are, at a point in time, they served a purpose and were needed. I can't imagine what some of those, what void they filled, but they were used, and they evidently have not taken them off the books yet. But the same could be also said for some of the religious laws the Jewish leaders imposed upon the people. Jesus had to deal with some of these laws in order to present the claims of the gospel. Just a couple of ridiculous laws that I'm not sure where they came in as far as chronologically, but on the Sabbath, you could not swat a fly because that could be considered hunting. a woman was not allowed or should not look in a mirror on the Sabbath because she might see a white hair and pull it out, and that would be considered work. So let's get away from women stuff. Okay. But they had 613 laws of things that they interpreted from the scriptures, and most of them were legitimate. It was called the mitzvahs. But where problem came in was when they added 1,500 fence laws, which means if it said you could only go so far on the Sabbath, they actually said that was 1,900 steps. They became very particular on what they thought was godly and what was not godly. And then I find this, that kind of sets a good precedent or setting anyway for the text. It's not the text this morning, but it kind of builds to it. It's in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and following. So you can imagine this is the situation that people lived in those days. It's a great burden. All these laws that you must keep, and not just the laws, but the interpretations of the laws. And if you could not do that, it did not do that, you were not allowed into the temple for worship. And some of the results were even very drastic as far as punishment. So Jesus went through all the towns, villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." You imagine a mass of people coming before him who want to have a relationship with God. They're hungering for a relationship with God. But they've been told the only way to do that is to live up to these expectations, to obey these laws, and make sure you didn't do something that was may have been prohibited just because of a certain interpretation of their laws. So Jesus looks at these people broken, thirsty. He has compassion on them. I'm sure he's looking at a crowd that has people who are maybe practicing some things that were not right, but they had found out that this was not a lifestyle that was pleasing, not only pleasing, but fulfilling to them. And Jesus looks at them and offers them another way. He offers them eternal life. He offers them forgiveness. He offers them a chance to repent and experience something new. And he loves these people as they come before him. And as he's, you can almost sense the weeping as he turns to his disciples and says, look at this. Look at this mass of people who want to find God. And there's Pharisees and Sadducees and everyone standing in the way of it because of the ridiculous requirements. So he says, pray, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. And that prayer is something that never ends. We're always praying that God would send out people, that we have people who would respond to that call and go and tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. See, that was the problem with the Jewish leaders in those days. Faith was expressed in terms of rules, while Christ spoke of a relationship. And when the two met, there was fireworks. We're going to look at a passage this morning. It's found in 7:6-5, which was nice and easy to remember in your pew Bibles. It's in Mark chapter 2. Beginning with verse 13. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. And as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. And he said, "Follow me." And Levi got up and followed him. Now, Levi and Matthew are the same people. Levi is his word, his name in Hebrew, Matthew in Greek. So when you see these, sometimes you say these are different stories, it's different people, same story. No, it's the same person. So Jesus said to him, "Follow me," and Levi or Matthew got up and followed him. And while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And when the teachers of the law, who were the Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And on hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but the sinners." Jesus created quite a stir. A lot of stirs during his ministry by who he associated with. The woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery, Levi here, and the list goes on and on and on. People that the Jewish leaders just couldn't quite understand. How can you call yourself a prophet? You know what the scriptures say? You know what the Torah says about who you can associate with? And you're associating with them? And you... And Levi, oh my goodness, he's an agent for the government. He's a tax collector. It's interesting, tax collectors and sinners, evidently the association was so close that they were viewed the same. And when you know what happened in those days with tax collectors, then you can understand it. See, a tax collector got his position from the Roman government. And essentially what they said was, okay, Levi or Matthew, what we want you to do, you're in this region, we want you to collect this amount of money and then turn it in to the Roman government. And if you could somehow, it's up to you if you want to get more. So we're going to say you're supposed to turn in $3,000, and if you want to collect a little more on the side, you can do that. That's okay with us. So it'd be just like the IRS saying your taxes this year are $4,500, and send them in. But if you want to send some more in, we're going to tell you to send it in some more. And maybe that's what you feel it's like. I don't know. Levi, as a tax collector, had no respect among the people because he was viewed as a thief. Something happens, though. Levi has a meeting with Jesus. And all through Scripture, when you see somebody having a meeting with Jesus, they're never the same. They have a meeting with Jesus, a thief on the cross. into eternity. I search and I look, and it's hard to find places where Jesus confronts somebody about their sinfulness, unless it's the Pharisees and the makers of the laws. Not that he says that's okay, but he understands the way to repentance is through the kindness of God and through offering that forgiveness in a loving way. So Jesus is meeting with Levi, and all of a sudden Levi invites all his buddies, his friends. The house is filled with other tax collectors and other sinners and other people who really were not fitting the mold as the Jewish leaders in that day. And Jesus offers grace to them and forgiveness. We don't know how many people turned to become a follower of his at that time, but we know Matthew did. But the Jewish leaders cannot get over it. Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus says this, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come to call the righteous, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Is anybody righteous? Scripture says none are righteous. So Jesus came to reach to all. You know, there's a text in Scripture in Revelation chapter 2 that I think speaks to this. Revelation 2 verse 1, it's the church in Ephesus. It says, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. God is very pleased with that. But there's something, he says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. John is saying through the Spirit, you have seen the things that are being taught which are not correct. That is good. You've held to the right teachings of God. And in all that work and so forth, but you have lost something along the way. You have lost the capacity to love. And sometimes that happens with Christians. We become like the Pharisees. We make sure every I is dotted, every T is crossed, and God is pleased. He's very much pleased when we teach correct theology. But if we do it at the cost of caring for people and loving them, we've done it in a wrong way. When in Ukraine a few years ago, we visited a church. This is back in 1997, I believe. Many churches in that area I visited were reaching out to lost people and baptizing them. It was a perfect example of what Jesus was doing, calling out people to come and to hear about him and to repent and know about his love and his kindness. But we were going to one church in the city of Kyiv, the capital, and I remember my translator said, now, this is going to be different. I said, why? Well, you find out. I said, okay. I remember we came into the church and sat down, and just looking in, and all of a sudden, these six gentlemen who look like cast-offs from the Russian government from years gone by. They look like party members. And one of them would preach and the translator would tell me what they're preaching about. And then one got up and started preaching. And in his preaching, he's weeping. But the translator quit. Tell me what was going on. And after 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes of this guy preaching and weeping and so forth, they sat down. I said, what was that all about? He said, well, he's very sad because he caught his son listening to the Christian radio station and the Christian radio, the music. I thought, wow, what's that all about? And as the service ended, they had a call for people to come forward and to repent and give their lives to Christ. I thought that was good, and it was. But one lady came up and stood there, and some other men came up, and they prayed with them, and then they all left, and that lady was left standing there. I thought, well, that's odd. And the pastor who was leading our group went and talked to a translator and then went and prayed over this lady. I thought, what was that? So I talked to him afterwards and found out, well, what was the story was, this lady had a reputation of being with many different men, and that they would not pray with her, counsel her, or anything until her life changed. And he said, you know, I prayed with her to help her understand her life, understand that she can be forgiven, and that God is for her, not her lifestyle. But he was willing and wants to bring her into a salvation relationship and to be loved with God's love. Any of you see the movie The Jesus Revolution? My wife and I watched, we finally got it. It got to the place on Netflix where it was free. Okay, so you kind of wait for those moments. We watched it because at the end we were looking for ourselves in it, because we both were there at Expo 72. But I remember just watching that story. If you haven't seen it, it's based upon a true story. The pastor, Greg Laurie, is still alive. He's still preaching. Chuck Smith, who was one of the people who was part of this movement, has passed away several years ago. But the story is based upon a movement that began in California, where the so-called hippies were getting burned out on drugs and so forth, and finding that that was not a way of life that was pleasing and satisfying. And God, through the Spirit, as revivals are, I'm just going to insert something here about revivals. We've had revivals through different stages of life and so forth, and church historians say, what happened? And then the Jesus movement is one of the greater revivals of our history. And so they were coming, these young people, by the hundreds and the thousands, as if something was inside them, which was the Holy Spirit, to this church that grew. They looked different, they dressed different, the music was different, but they loved Christ. And the movie goes on to show how it blossomed and how it ended in 1972 in Dallas, Texas, with an event called Expo 72. I was a sophomore in college, and my wife was going into her senior year of high school, so she's a little younger than me, of course, but I remember that event. We flew down on an airplane. We're members of Campus Crusade for Christ, where we taught how to share our faith and so forth, and we did that in the streets of Dallas. It was an exciting time. We just sensed there was something special going on. We went into the Cotton Bowl at night to hear people like Billy Graham and Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, preaching about the love of Christ, reaching out to people who were lost, especially this generation. And then it culminated with a mass concert rally of over 100,000 people. Billy Graham spoke as well. We had musicians like Johnny Cash speak, Chris Christopherson, people of a different era, of course, but who had given their lives to Christ. But I just remember how that was something that, you know, totally changed our lives. I did not know that somewhere in the crowd there was somebody who would be my future wife. But those moments still remind me of a moment in time when God breathed something special and unique into our country, and that revolution, that revival, lasted for many years. I think we're due for another one. I really do. And we pray for that. But this story with Jesus and Levi was one where he loved a man who was sinful and needed to hear about forgiveness, and he did that. There's another story that takes place here. It's in verse 18. Now Jesus' disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours aren't?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new place will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins." There are three reasons, or three occasions, where people fasted in those days. One was in sorrow over a deceased person. Another was repentant mourning over a sin that was welcoming the wrath of God. And thirdly, a petition to God. In all the cases, fasting was done in seriousness and sobriety. And Jesus uses this two analogies why his disciples were not fasting. He says there is a time will come, which means when his kingdom will be fulfilled completely, and when he returns. There will be a time to celebrate that. But he explains it's like a wedding. You don't fast at a wedding. It's a time of celebration. It's a time of rejoicing. And because since I am here with you, that's what it is. It is a time to rejoice and not to fast. And then he shifts to another image, the one of the wineskins, where you do not take new wine and put it into old wineskins. Because what happens when you put the wine, as I've read about, and you put it in a wineskin, it expands as it ages. And if you have an old wineskin there, it's already been used once, it's going to burst and be useless. And so Jesus is saying, a new thing has come. A new message of love, of forgiveness that you have not heard. What you have heard is the old thing from the Pharisees of you have to do this, you have to do that. If you don't, you're in trouble, and there is no love, there is very little forgiveness. He says you cannot put the new thing that I bring you into the old wineskins, the old message, the old way of doing things that the Jewish leaders had propagated, because it will not hold, it will not last. And what Jesus says, don't expect to patch up your life with a new set of religious practices. And sometimes that's what we do. You have an experience with God and says, okay, I'm going to give more, I'm going to do this more. And some of these things are great, but not great in the sense that they're going to earn more favor with God. Remember Paul's words in 2 Corinthians, he says, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you probably have it memorized anyway. 16 says, "So from now on we regard no one from the worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself." We're new people. We have a new experience with him. The old ways that held back the people that Jesus was preaching to, he says, no, you're new now. Don't go back and look at that as a way to earn favor. Finally, one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields with his disciples and walked along, and they began to pick up heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing that? It's unlawful on the Sabbath." And he said, "Have you not heard? Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need in the days of Abiathar, the high priest? He entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some of his to his companions. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Why do we have Sabbath or Sunday as we have it now? Are we doing it because we're trying to appease what God would want? It says it's made for our benefit. It's made for our benefit spiritually to come together and to worship, to be with other Christians, to fellowship. It's for our benefit that we get rest so that we can serve God and so forth. I've come across, different thoughts on this, and I guess each person to their own. But I wonder, one individual who thought it was wrong to play softball at church picnics, but he would go home, lay down on his couch for the afternoon, and watch the Twins play. Or the story of the guy who didn't hunt deer on Sunday, and that's okay. But what he did was kind of odd. He figured, because I didn't hunt on Sunday, that means I missed 3 days of hunting. That means I could justify hunting 3 days after the season ended. Yeah, we go to great lengths to prove our weirdness. But that's not what the Sabbath, this time, is for. God knew we needed this. We need this time to grow in our faith, to get to know him better, to worship him together with other people. It's not something that to appease God. It's something he gives to us as part of a gift for us to take. And all these things come to us that we've just read about, picturing how Jesus reached out to the unreachable people to bring them to faith. Jesus is not soft on sin. He died on the cross. He honors obedience, but it flows out of relationship with him, not out of guilt and not out of legalism. Have you ever heard of Tony Campola? So you have. Teacher, preacher, I'm not sure if I think he's still alive. He's had some of the greatest sermons I've ever heard. If you've ever heard of it, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Wow, that is a powerful sermon. But he tells a story when he flew into Honolulu for a week-long conference. He couldn't sleep that night, so he ventured out into the night around 3 o'clock in the morning, and he found a diner. He sat down, and as he was sitting there, he happened to overhear a group of prostitutes talking. One mentioned to her friends that the next day was her birthday. Another replied, "What do you want? You want a birthday party?" She repeated with her defensive shell by saying, "I've never had one in my whole life. Why should I expect one now?" It kind of struck Campolo, and that it would be a good idea to conspire with the owner of the diner and throw a surprise birthday party the next night. A cake was baked, and everything was prepared. The cries of happy birthday from her small group of friends and Campolo left her stunned. She was shocked that anyone would go to this much trouble just for her. She asked if she could take the cake home, and they said yes. And just before she left with that prize, Campolo offered to pray for her. He prayed for her life to change. He prayed for her to understand the gift of salvation that God offers and offers to her, and that God would be good to her. After she left, the prayer after finishing the prayer and she left, the owner of the diner says, well, you never told me you were a preacher. What kind of church do you belong to? Campola said, I belong to a church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes at 3 a.m. And the owner said, there is no church like that. Why not? It would probably meet with too much opposition. We would never do anything like that for those sinners. But it parallels the kind of thing, that exact thing that Jesus did in reaching out to those who were lost and despised. While we look for him among the priests, he is among the sinners. Remember Romans? I've alluded to it several times. For it is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. God, may we sense a fresh kindness in our lives today that would make us, compel us to give our hearts to you. Lord, too, we pray for the people who are lost. Maybe somebody even here in this room this morning who feels so unworthy. The fact is, none of us are worthy, but we still receive the gift and the opportunity of forgiveness. And Lord, may we not spare us, but convict us whenever we think we're too good and that we cannot associate with people who aren't good enough. May we be like Jesus in everything. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Randy. It's wonderful to know that we are not bound to the laws of the Old Testament, but rather the freedom to live in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. May we, as we approach the next week, seek to live out the gifts of the Spirit in our lives as we come in contact with those around us. In closing, would you stand with me and sing number 671, On Our Way Rejoicing. Turn to each other and sing the blessing.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious.